Hello and welcome to A-Team Group's podcast on the evolution of the Algo Trading Desk, brought to you from our Trading Tech Summit in New York City on the 11th of June 2019. The podcast covers a panel discussion that details the development of algos, the challenges and opportunities of algo wheels, early thoughts on algos driven by machine learning and other types of artificial intelligence, and overall the need for greater communication between the buy side and sell side.
I thought we'd start by doing some introductions really quickly. I'm Bill Hartz, and my background is that I've been mostly on the sell side for my career, starting first at Goldman and then the firm that eventually became Citigroup and B of A, and with a short stint at NASDAQ. Most recently, I was the CEO of an organization called Modern Markets Initiative, which was basically an advocacy organization to sort of explain to people how modern electronic trading works. So. Anyway, I'll ask the panelists to introduce themselves also.
My name is Eric Karpman. I'm an independent consultant right now, but I've spent about 20 years in sell-side institutions, actually the beginning of my career, at Mizuho, then Bear Stearns, then Deutsche Bank. And then since 2012, I started doing consulting, and my clients are actually large hedge funds primarily. I would say the top 10 hedge funds in the world, you know, four are my clients. And I've dealt throughout my career in electronic trading, first building trading platforms for sell side and buy side, and then later on actually consulting my clients on how to utilize either vendor solutions or build custom solutions for electronic trading.
Hi, I'm Saurabh Srivastav. I work for Jefferies in the electronic trading team, so that's basic algorithmic trading. Prior to that, I was at BAML, and there I was in the fixed income commodities trading. Prior to that, I was at Credit Suisse, and I've been on the buy side and on the sell side in my past life, so both sides of the fence.
Vlad Gesturak, I'm from Cantor Fitzgerald. I'm head of electronic trading distribution and sales trading. Joined about a year ago, joined Catherine Zhao, who's Global Head of Electronic Trading at Cantor, as we've rolled out our precision electronic trading platform in the US and with many other plans. My background is a significant amount of time spent on the sell side, including BAML and UBS, all electronic trading. Additionally, buy side, I worked as a high frequency trader for one of the top players back in the day. And I was also a portfolio manager and the head of US trading for a family office based out of Chennai, India. That's pretty much it.
Thanks. So I think it's great. We've got this obviously fantastic depth of knowledge and experience on this panel. I'd like to start by sort of teeing up the issue or the question of how brokers are basically tailoring their business models to meet the changing needs of their buy-side clients. You know, in terms of client service, customized algos, what's the relationship and the dynamics between the sell side and the buy side? How is it changing these days? I mean, obviously, this is not a part of the industry that stands still for very long. Buy side has plenty of options and plenty of alternatives about where to send their order flow. And I'd like to, you know, try to understand how the sell side's adapting to that. So, Vlad, if you want to start.
Sure. It's important to open up that communication between the client and a broker, extremely important. The better relationship you have as far as communication between a client and a broker, the more you can do for the client and vice versa. The more you understand what they're struggling with or how you can be more helpful, the more you can deliver to them. And that leads us into a structuring how you're going to compose your team and where you're going to pour your resources. So obviously, you can take a look at specifically to your firm, where you are now and where you're heading, where your sweet spot is. Is it a small size hedge funds, medium size hedge funds, or do you service everybody? But from a general perspective, when you're talking about bulge brackets specifically, which handle sheer bulk of electronic trading volume, I mean, I think the changing environment, especially among the large asset managers who maybe have to comply with MiFID II, or maybe adopting the best practices around MiFID as far as evidence-based trading, where they're really focusing on execution quality, you need to sort of determine what type of player they are. Are they using wheels? How much of the flow is really directed by a portfolio manager, so the traders themselves, or they're purely looking at execution quality. So you typically separate your teams into those who handle, you know, quant systematic trading, where there needs to be not so much of a day-to-day handholding, except for maybe issue resolution, and more of a periodic review. And then you separate your teams to more of institutional level accounts, especially medium to large size hedge funds and semi-large asset managers, where algos are actually selected maybe by a trader themselves, so they require a little bit more of a hand-holding education about how algo works and trying to find out what serves better. I think where we're finding out the direction as far as staffing levels is that the more the sophisticated and larger the asset manager is, the more you're going to need to partner up with a quant on your team, somebody who will do bespoke analysis of their execution flow, providing really bespoke recommendations about how each algo can be tailored in order to fit the need. Not necessarily what you want to sell them, is what they really need from you and what your capabilities are. So there's quite a bit of a change happened in the past several years, but there's more and more data analysis takes place, especially for larger asset managers who are probably responsible for 80% of commission wallet out there.
Rob, did you want to say something?
Sure. One big shift that we are seeing in our space is the clients are now offering us more discretion over the order execution. So we are now building algos that behave like human traders would. So the algo then decides which sub-algo it would use, what should be the start and end time, what should be the schedule, what should be the participation rate, should he participate in the closing auction or opening auction, so those kind of things. So that's where we are, and so that's why the algo now is evolving and behaving more like human traders.
Interesting. Eric?
Well, I just add a perspective from the buy side, right? So I think, you know, I agree with Vlad that, you know, there should be more communications between the buy side and the sell side. But the sell side has an advantage. It knows the flow of the, you know, basically what the buy side is sending to them. So they can also be more proactive and acknowledge that and say, you know what, you know, we think that you can change certain parameters. So we think that there is a, you know, the additional, you know, maybe participation in the auction or after the market close, some participation or something else that can be happening. Or maybe we can recommend additional characteristics for the order to be provided to us. So that communications needs to take place. Plus, the buy side also is quite advanced right now, especially if we talk about larger hedge fund institutions or buy side institutions. That do great job analyzing after the day is over what their, you know, what, how their algorithms performed, which broker did better job sending parts of the order flow to different brokers and then comparing them. So they do like that very diligent job doing TCA analysis, doing analysis of the algos specifically for the brokers and making decisions whom to go with. So that communications needs to take place from both sides.
It's interesting, listening to the previous panel about Rule 606, I kept thinking, well, you know, why is the industry even counting on the SEC to dictate what data the buy side needs when in fact the buy side theoretically should have plenty of power over what data they can request or ask for,
or rely on the data themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So that's another aspect of this. So right now, buy side, you know, with all the ticker plans and all the real time market data that they receive, detailed market analysis information from alternative marketplaces and so on. So they have pretty much the same information that the sell side has, and they can do that independent analysis and validation of which broker is doing a better job.
Interesting. So, I guess where the rubber hits the road on all this stuff is how much you guys are spending on it, right? So, you know, it's like you say, well, we're, you know, doing this and building that. I mean, I know this adds up into real money for, for a Cantor or a Jefferies or whatever. And I guess the question I would ask is, do you feel like your clients, you know, give you credit for all that spending? I know it's a lot of money. Theoretically, it should translate into more business, right? I mean, how do you feel about that? Is it working?
I would say it's working. Like in our space, like besides investing on new algorithms, We also invest a lot of dollars on increasing transparency. So we do share a lot of data with our clients. So like, okay, all the child order details, like, okay, where we sent the order, where it was actually filled, what was the execution details. Then they take that data, they plug it into a third-party tool, like, let's say, Babelfish, which performs analysis for them. And all this provides for a quantitative basis for healthy discussion between us and the client. At the end, like Vlad said earlier, it's all about relationship. If the client doesn't trust us, then there is no business. So it is a very relationship-driven business, so transparency is very important.
I want to add to that, at least at Cantor Fitzgerald, because we're brand new to the electronic trading games versus equities, and significant amount of effort went into hiring the talent around quantitative analysis as well as development. Our money had been spent on building out Quantteam or building the algo platform, but also our next expansion will be increasing our capabilities around real-time as well as post-trade analytics, where we can add a tremendous amount of value. As far as the investment of dollars, whether they're paying off or not, it's actually not a question whether will it pay off. If you're not in this game, if you're not investing into data analysis and transparency, you're just going to be left out, because it's a bare minimum that our clients nowadays, especially large asset managers, that expect of you. So not investing is a mistake. Investing is a necessity. And then once you invest, it depending on quality of your product, and the people that are handling the servicing of that product and communication with the client will drive what the outcome will be.
Great point, great point. So a minute ago, I think, Vlad, you mentioned that you're seeing more and more clients using wheels, algo wheels. Maybe we could tee that up for a couple of minutes. This is a concept, it feels to me like the automation of something that's been done for a long time, which is evaluating brokers' execution quality and then routing or not routing based on, you know, certain criteria. Do you see more of your clients doing that now? Is that also going to be sort of the price of admission for large buy-side clients? To
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge nowadays, especially with larger asset managers, that they're using some sort of wheels, brackets, some kind of learning techniques about how to route orders, even changing on the fly. I mean, there's various ways to accomplish it, but I want to go back to the initial point that I made. The better communication you have with the client, as far as more transparency, the better the outcome will be for them. Because we, as brokers, especially where we're investing heavily in technology and spending huge sums of money, we're willing to go to any length to make sure we provide a top-notch service and quality to the client. Now, conversations that I've had as somebody in my role, and I've had relationships across the street with many important players, is, if you're on a wheel, let's discuss how are you doing it. Is your PM selecting when they're sending an order to the trading desk, or they're selecting the speed of execution or the purpose of the trade? Is there an alpha in your trade? Does the execution